Well, good morning. How's everyone doing today? Amen. All right. It's not as cold as it's going to be, so we better enjoy these good days. But if you will, if you'll turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we're going to continue in our study. Ecclesiastes, the preacher. Not that I'm necessarily the preacher, but I'm the Sunday school teacher. And, you know, I count it a joy that I can get up here and just share the Word of God. That's what we need. If you get anything this morning, it'll be from the Holy Spirit bringing it to you and just sealing those words from the Word of God into your heart. I know Brother Becker said it many times, and anybody that teaches, you get more out of it when you prepare for it than anything else. And I've been reminded of many things here during this lesson. But the title of the lesson this morning is The Seasons of Life. Now, I don't know why the pastor gave me this lesson on my birthday, my 60th birthday. But I have seen a few seasons of life. Not as much as some of you. But definitely 6 decades is nice. And, you know, I just praise the Lord for every year He gave me. More than half of that is I've walked as a Christian, so I'm really thankful for that. Although 26 years, I was lost, as the day is long, and I wished I had gotten saved earlier. I had a basic knowledge of God, knew there was a God. The devil knows that, trembles, but it's not enough to make you understand about life and understand why we're here. The curtains are revealed, the curtains pulled back. You understand why we're here once you get saved, and that's you know, that's wonderful. So it's a blessing. So what we're going to do is we're going to read the first 11 verses of Ecclesiastes. And this is a great portion of Scripture. Not that there's a bad portion of Scripture. But this is one that, just like a cow chews on its cud for hours, you can go home this evening and you can read these again and reflect on these verses. And you can just think about some of the things that I'll say today. And hopefully you'll get a blessing and another blessing and another blessing. But before we get started at all, let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer, okay? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love You. We do thank You so much, dear God, for Your goodness and mercy. Thank You for the songs that were sung. They spoke to my heart, dear God. No one cared for me like You. And, oh, You can have friends on the earth, and You can have people that will stick with You maybe until times get real bad. But You're always there for us, dear God, and You care for us. You want the best for us. Even before we knew You, You still cared for us. And Your mercy and goodness just overwhelms me at times. And I just thank You for that. I pray that every heart would be blessed here. I pray that if there's one here that doesn't know You, I pray that they would be saved today. And I pray that all things that done would bring honor and glory to You now. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Now, in my Bible, before the chapter, it says, to everything a season. And, you know, I like seasons. I like the four seasons. But anyway, this is talking about something else. To everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rent, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time of war, and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in his heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. And like I say, there's 14 contrasts in this portion of Scripture. I mean, they're opposites. To be born and to die. Well, the moment basically we're born, we're going to die sooner or later. But he brings some other contrasts out there that, you know, we might not think are needful. Like he says, a time to kill and a time to heal. a time to break down and a time to build up. There's definitely a time to weep and a time to laugh. Sorrow is part of life. You know, we're going to have it. But there's a lot of joys and a lot of things that, you know, I just watch and I think they're funny, you know, and that's good. But there's a time to embrace and there's a time not to embrace. It's just not appropriate. You know what I'm saying? But there's a time, here's one that I can learn in verse 7. It says a time to keep silence and a time to speak. Sometimes I speak and insert mouth or insert foot in my mouth. But, and then a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Yeah, we are to love, but we're to hate. We're to hate sin. We're to hate wickedness and so forth. And so, you know, the lesson today is about seasons. Life has its seasons, and I like to call it, or stages of life, that we all go through. But God created us for eternity. I mean, we're going to go through a lot. I don't know the number of your days. I don't have to know it. God knows what those days are. But he's bringing us through different seasons and different stages of life. And in those stages, we experience many joys and sorrows and relationships and experiences in our lives. You know, I've experienced a lot of things. I probably have forgot a lot of things that I've gone through. You know, different places I've traveled, different people I've known over the years and so forth. But, you know, when I reflect on some of those things, it brings joy to my heart. I think about how God has blessed me all through these years. And, you know, it's just been a blessing. When I mention seasons, am I talking about seasons like hunting seasons? Fishing season? Maybe golf season?
Yeah.
Some of you. Or am I talking about puppy season? I'm definitely in puppy season. We got a puppy for Christmas, and that puppy is teaching me lessons, which I'll share later on in the message. But you know, you can definitely learn a lot of things from things that you go through. But that's it. But no, I'm not talking about those seasons. A lot of times we think of those things, but I'm talking about, and think about it. The most of the time we think about seasons. What do we think about? We're into what season? We're into winter, and spring, summer, and fall. You know, those are the seasons. But there's seasons of life, too. There's seasons that you go through. Maybe you have a season of sorrow, or a season of depression, or a season of joy because everything is just going your way. You know what I'm saying? A season of bonding with a close friend here. Just a season of, you know, new marriage. A season of a new child. You know, even... Unfortunately, before I was saved, I went through a... Even God uses seasons in the Bible. The world says cycles or different things like that. The cycle of life and so forth like that. And they want to bring in evolution and so forth like that. But God uses seasons. Even he says there's pleasure in sin for a season. But remember, what you sow is what you're going to reap. So you think about that. But there's also many other different seasons. You can think of different seasons that you've gone through in your life. Maybe seasons of unemployment, and seasons of having a good job, seasons of having a good career, seasons when you have to think about maybe I'm not going to work anymore. I guess you'd call that retirement and so forth. I call those stages of life and whatnot. But, and you know, if you looked at your life, maybe each season is broken down into different stages that you go through. Maybe every 15, 20 years, you go through different things. I mean, think about it. You're first, you're an infant, you're a toddler, then you're a teen or preteen, and then a teen. Then you're in a young adult, okay? And then, you know, you just keep going. Pre-retirement, retirement, golden years. I call those 80 plus, you know. You know, you got to get up there. But, I mean, sometimes we won't see those stages of life. And a lot of times I like to listen to people that have been further down the road, I call it, in life. They've experienced more things. They can tell me about things. They have a lot of wisdom. Why do they know these things? Because they experienced them. They've, especially older Christians, they understand. They've been there. God has tried them. God has showed them things that other people we haven't even considered because we're not there in our life. So we need to think about that. When I say stages of life, I'm speaking about where we are on the road of life, like when we're in all those things, middle age or pre-retirement or 60 years old or whatever. But we go through events in our life like graduating from school. These are big events that happen to us, like graduating from school or getting married, having a child or death of a loved one or having grandchildren. What a joy. or whatever trial the Lord may have for us consists of many joys and excitements and goals and accomplishments and failures, but all are designed to catch our attention and wonder what God is trying to teach us while we go through these trials or events in life. I mean, God doesn't do something just for his entertainment. I mean, he wants us to learn things. A lot of times I'll go through something, I'll go, why did I make such a decision like that? He wanted to teach me. There's a better way. What does the Bible say? When something happens in your life, especially as a Christian, the first thing we should ask ourselves is, what is God trying to teach me here? What is God trying to teach me? Because he wants me to learn something. I can tell you that for sure. But sometimes we learn it, sometimes we don't. Bad thing about it is if we don't learn it, we're going to repeat. We're going to get in that same situation. Whether it's finances, you learn to put God first there, and all of a sudden, man, I don't have to, ends meet. They just, you know, they're there. God has provided because I've done what the Bible says. I put him first in my life. I put him first for services and so forth. And how come the rest of the week works out right? I want to do something I selfishly want, but I need to do what the Lord wants me to do. You put God first, and all those other things shall be added to you. Jeremiah 33:3. You know, you think about that. He definitely will do that. And, you know, we just need to acknowledge that and think about it. Larry and I were out visiting yesterday on Saturday visitation. And we met a young man by the name of Paul. He's just a young teen. I don't know, maybe 15, 16. We were talking, and he gave us the opportunity to talk to him. So I, of course, shared the gospel with him and shared different things with him. And he sounded like he had tried that. He said he was saved, but he had tried that and he wasn't interested. Or, you know, he didn't really use the word interested, but he was kind of confused or maybe disappointed or whatever. And I don't know what the big event was. We could only guess. I don't know, you know, whether he had a near-death experience and he expected to see heaven and to come back and say, well, it wasn't what I expected. Well, no, you're not going to do that. But he doesn't understand that. But we tried to share the Word of God with him, but God was working in his life about something. And again, he used us to come by to share the Word of God, to share the gospel. If he doesn't have that settled, it doesn't matter if you're a teen or you're 60 or 80. Tomorrow, today could be your last day on the planet. So we need to be ready. And we got another opportunity to share some word there and share some other things with him. But again, God was trying to teach him something. I don't know what it was, but he was trying to use us. And we had the gospel and we were sharing some scripture with him. So I'm guaranteeing you that's part of it. But life has many relationships, family and friends from work, school, neighbors, fellow Christians, and most of all, our Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, when God brings you through all these relationships, I mean, we walk our little puppy around the neighborhood. Now I'm meeting other dog owners. What an opportunity to witness to him. What an opportunity to talk to him. Man, that last dog I had, Maddie, she's only a dog, but I thought she was like a soul winner because everybody would be there. This little puppy we have, I know I'm biased, but that puppy is so cuddly. We took her over to Crocker Park, and we couldn't even walk. Everybody wanted to see her. Good opportunity to share the gospel. See? Different things like that. God can use anything. If he can use me, he can use anybody, and he can use anything. But God sends a message with everything that comes into our life. We need to see what God is trying to teach us when things happen in our lives. That makes no sense. I mean, I hear the news sometimes, and I hear of a dad killing a boyfriend killing a 9-year-old kid or somebody running over a kid for no reason. I hear some of these things that are just unbelievable. I don't understand those things. I don't have to. God does, but it's just amazing. But Romans 8:28 is in the book. He's still working on us. He's still bringing us through. He has a purpose for everything that happens, and he makes no mistakes. Now, the 3 points of the lesson are the inability of the king. You think about this in the context of the seasons of life. We're talking about King Solomon and David's son. He had it all, right? He had power, possessions, wisdom, but he also had a relationship with God. But you think about that. He had power. He could just speak and somebody could be killed, put to death. He could just speak and put someone in power. He could just speak and do this or that. He made all kinds of architectural designs that were even before the time. I mean, he had so much wealth. They said in his day that silver was like pebbles. I mean, he had everything materially that you would think of. And still, he said, vanity of vanities, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. He realized a lot of things. And that's what God is trying to do, to teach us. He had wisdom. He could make decisions that we would never think of. I mean, he just had that wisdom. And he asked for wisdom. And God used him. And yet, he was still in need of God to have control of his life. Now, if that doesn't teach you a lesson, think about that. I mean, that's when we make our problems. No, I know what's good for me. Oh, you do? And God just says, okay, go for a little ways. You know, I'll use a lot of analogies with a puppy. I have a extended thing. I give her a little room, and she gets wrapped around a pole. Hey, you know, that's kind of like me. I get wrapped around the axle on something that's really ridiculous. But even King Solomon, he needed God to have control of his life. And Solomon had no control over his life, of his own death. Think about it. You could be the most powerful man in the world, president of the United States and all that. Still, where is your life? It is in the hand of the Lord. You know what I'm saying? He has their heart. He can change men's heart. That's why it's so important to pray and to speak and to talk and just to praise the Lord. Because even King Solomon realized he didn't even have control over the time of his death, or he didn't want to get sick, but he got sick. Sickness or sorrows. I mean, he lost loved ones. Surely he did. And he realized that. So that brings in the seasons of life, the different things. And we have a life of limitations. That's what I was thinking about it, is we need to realize we have limitations. Not just physical limitations. Surely I can't step off of a 31st floor building. Gravity is going to limit me there. But I have other limitations, whether it's financial limitations or physical limitations. But I have limitations with God. I can only do so much or go so far. And God's mercy is, it's it. You know what I'm saying? So there's limitations. And limitations are very good for us. Solomon had everything his heart desired, and still it was vanity and vexation of spirit. You know, people today that, you know, go in for this lottery and all that. This might sound weird, but you'll understand it. I certainly would never want to win the lottery. Well, I make sure because I don't enter. But I'm just saying, I would hate to win the lottery. It may change me. It may change and turn my heart away from God. Who wants that? Who wants that? And then, of course, I'd have friends crawling out of the woodwork. So I don't want that. The lottery will not bring satisfaction or fulfillment in life. When you have everything, we see King Solomon had everything, and still he realized he needed God. When you die, what do you take with you? Nothing. Nothing. Even if you accumulate so many things. Sometimes we do not listen or forget, and he has to reteach us the same lesson that we have gone through before, but somehow have forgotten. God is always gracious in dealing with us and merciful and long-suffering, not wanting us to fail, but call out to him. And that's the way I need to be. I need to be that way to people. I need to be more tolerant. They make mistakes. I want them to be perfect, and I'm not even perfect. What is my problem? You know what I'm saying? It usually goes back. When something's wrong, don't be pointing a finger at God. Most of the problem is right here. Right here. Right here. And we need to do that. So, you know, you think about that. The inevitability or the inability of the king. He didn't have control even over his death or sickness or things that come into his life. He can't control that. The second point is the inevitableness of death. No one can avoid the inevitability of death regardless of your status or power or possessions or knowledge. Bill Gates has a lot of money. Is he going to live forever on the earth? No. No. One day he's going to have to die. You know, he will die. Romans 5:12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." You know, I've heard people say that they haven't sinned. I mean, you know, they just don't understand what they're saying. I say, oh, good. Well, then you don't have to worry about dying, because you'll never die. Hopefully they understand or start to get the idea. You've never sinned. Never. Okay. You just did right then because you lied. But, you know, you don't want to argue with them and so forth like that. But they just don't see it. And that's the first base that you need to get to get saved. Ecclesiastes 3:2 states, there is a time for everything. A time to be born and a time to die. You know, we just have to realize it's in God's season. Hebrews 9:27 says, as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Death is a gateway to heaven or hell. I mean, that's it. I like to think of life here on earth as a dressing room for all eternity. You know, we try different things. I went to different churches. I went to a Methodist church before I came to God and accepted His way. We try different things. People try different things. They try all kinds of things. But God has given us the opportunity in this lifetime. Some get saved early, some get saved later. As long as you have breath, you still have hope to get saved and to make that peace with God so that you can be in heaven, not hell, when this life is over. Because it is going to be over. And I like the idea there that it's a gateway. It's a gateway. Are we as Solomon and realize that most of the things we do are vanity and vexation of spirit? You know, a lot of things we just fill our life with, okay? Even that little puppy is taking me away from TV, and I have to walk more outside. That's good health. She's taking more of my time that I used to use for nonsense. That's not really a bad deal. That's not really. It's also helping me give and give for a little bit more because she needs me. So there. The things of life can choke out or cover our eyes to the things God wants to teach us. Do you look at things that happen to you and really, really think about it and say, what is God trying to teach me? I thought about it the other day and was almost overwhelmed as the dog was barking at the door to tell me she had to go out. Now, you might think that's a little thing, but that dog was learning, and that made me happy, the owner of the dog. When you do something that God wants you to do and you're barking and saying, hey, I'm willing to follow you, I'm willing to do what you said. Think that makes God happy? Sure it does. And that's what I mean about teaching. Teaching. But it also helps you realize that that dog is relying on me. And I wished I was as innocent as that dog. That dog is relying on me for everything. Water, food, exercise, stay out of the elements for a place to. It's just a simple life. But it's still dependent on me. And leaps it and laps at my feet and follows me around. Oh, but would I be like that to God? Would I follow Him? Would I want to, you know, He's going to provide everything for me that I need, not that I want. Praise the Lord, He's going to give me what I need, not what I want. What I want's probably going to get me in trouble. It might give me a big boat and I think I can go out on Sunday afternoon and not come back to church because I want to go fishing or something. You know, I'm just throwing out different things there. But you think about that. The Bible tells us, he who keeps his life loses it, and he who loses his life keeps it. That's what we need to be reminded of. You know, the lesson today tells us that you're not ready to live until you're ready to die. You think about that. Are you really ready to die outside of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ? No, you're not. But when you know that when this life is over, you're going to go to heaven, now you're ready to live, and you're ready to live for the Lord. Think about that. I mean, that is a blessing. He means that those that learn to acknowledge God in their life and turn their life over to Him have a better life than just living for themselves. If you've ever just lived for yourself and doing everything you want and all that, why is there no satisfaction in that? You can't retire in life and just go to the rocking chair. You won't probably make 5 years. You'll be dead. You're wasted. The third point is the inquiry into eternity. The inquiry into eternity, a season for everything, a purpose for everything. I asked myself, when I got saved, God had humbled me through recruiting duty. I was a proud Marine. Most Marines are proud. I could do anything. I'd never failed in anything. And God just put His finger on me. He said, well, you ain't going to get enough people to sign up. You're going to fail. I'm going to get your attention. He might use anything. He might use a car accident. He might put you in a coma. I have no idea what He's going to use, but He'll use something that you can get to the point that you say, what is life about? Is this all there is? That's what I thought about. Is this all there is? You know, I mean, I was in sin, so I'd do sin, get sick of it. The next day, I'd go back into sin, just like a dog returns to its vomit. I mean, I said, is that what life's about? Can't be. There's got to be something more. That's when I started hungering and thirsting for the spiritual things. And that's when God sent bus workers by my house in His time. Everything works in His time. And like I say, you know, I use the analogy of my little puppy there, Holly. you know, she's depending on me for everything. I need to be depending on the Lord. He has a purpose why things happen in our lives. Nothing happens by accident. He is always in control of all things. There's more to life than just what we experience in this life. He might be preparing us for the life to come. It seems like I notice when I get older and other people get older, the things of this life get dimmer. You understand what I'm saying? Those of you that have been down the road a little longer, you're not really gathering, you're downsizing. The things of this life are getting dimmer and dimmer. The gathering days are over. The chucking, the getting rid of days are here. Because you know what? You ain't got the energy or the time to play with all those little toys that you collected all those years. And it's time to get right down to the basics. And, you know, that's what's important. And then again, when you get into those twilight years, you're really ready to go. You're ready to go. My dad's 89 years old. He knows the Lord. He's ready to go. He doesn't want to go before the Lord's time, but he's ready to go. He knows where he's going, so he's ready to live. Now, while he's here, he still wants to do things for the Lord and help people. And definitely we want to do that. You think about life. Life basically is in a capsule for us. You know, 70, 80, maybe 90 or more years. People are living longer. But the Bible says in James 4:14, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Our life, it's like a puff of smoke. You know what I'm saying? That's it. Evaporates. That's it. It took 30 seconds in this lifetime, and that's it and compared to eternity. Even if you live 95 years, it's just still but a vapor, but a puff of smoke. You know, and a lot of things that we've spent our time on in this life, we're going to look back on and we're going to say, hey, you know, that really wasn't the end of the world like I thought it was. It really wasn't even important. What the things that I really should have spent time in is family and so forth. You think about this. I could give you $1 million if I had it. And I give you $1 million today, and the Lord says tonight, you need to come home. Who's going to get that? You're not going to get it. I mean, it's not going to be it. But isn't it more important to spend time with your family, share the gospel, tell them, tell your loved ones, hey, the Lord wants you to go to heaven. He's provided everything. Realize that you've sinned and come short of the glory of God, that you can repent of your sins, and that you can trust the Lord Jesus Christ to take you to heaven. The only thing we can take with us is our loved ones, our friends, our co-workers, our people that we associate with. The puppy's not going. The puppy's not going. There's not all dogs in heaven and like the world paints all that stuff. They don't have souls. But the thing is, we're human beings. So when you spend your time soul winning and sharing tracts and doing kind deeds, it might not even involve an opportunity to witness to somebody, but it might be just hoeing their heart a little bit, preparing it so that someone else can come by and share the gospel with them. Whatever it is, you just don't know what it is. But isn't that more important than, I'm going to work a few hours of overtime. Yeah, I know my kids need me, but I don't care about that. I want to make that money. Whose money is that after you die? It's really not important as you think. And that's why we need to have our priorities straight. And God has to continually work on me. I think what I'm doing is more important than what He wants me to do. And He has to pull back that leash. Pull back that leash. The dog, she walks good. She walks good. She walks right here and all that. But she gets out of line. She wants to sniff and pick up every buddy's paper and all that. And I have to pull her back in line. She walks with me off leash, so forth. And when she follows me with not much control, that makes me happy. Don't you think it makes God happy when you follow Him and He doesn't have to have a muzzle on you or a leash on you or to be controlling you all the time? And you just happily, like a puppy, pant after the Lord. You just run after Him, and you just want to do whatever He wants you to do, and you're open to the Holy Spirit leading you. You're sitting there at a restaurant or whatever, and He says, you should give that person a track. You see, maybe they're going through a situation. You just try to be a help to them. You know, God can direct you in all these things. But in the end of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, I love this statement it talks about. It says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. He says, fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. The conclusion of the whole matter. He wants us to fear God and to keep His commandments. Now, obviously, we're not going to be perfect in all that, but that should be our focus. We want to fear God. You think about it. God could spank me. If I get out of line, He could. But He's only going to chastise me for what's good for me. He's not going to do it, you know, out of whatever you might think. He's just doing it because you think He's doing it out of meanness. He's not. He's trying to correct us. He's trying to keep us in line. And to get us to think about the seasons of life and how precious life is and short it can be. Life can be short. I think my dad told me, well, as you get older, you'll look in the obituaries. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Now, I do look in the obituaries. I mean, I'll admit that. I do look for the ones with the flags. I wonder why I do that. I like to see the veterans. I like to see the service they served. I like to see, you know, maybe they were in World War II, which is getting less, more and more of those, less and less of them alive, or Korea or Vietnam, or, you know, but then every once in a while I see a young teenager or a young child or somebody like that. But it just reminds me of how close life can be. You're just one heartbeat away. And so hopefully you're ready. You're ready to meet the Lord. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow is not promised to anyone. Even the devil knows that Jesus can and will save your soul, but he wants you just to not trust him today. Just don't do it today. Do it tomorrow. That's procrastination. The only thing that does not change is God. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And Malachi 3:16 says, for I am the Lord, I change not. And these verses comfort my heart. You know, I could change. I could get an accident, and I could be in a coma or something like that. I could change. I could change. I'm human. God never changes. He's the same day after day after day. He's there waiting for you, wanting the best for you, wanting to guide in your life, wanting to be a big part of your life. And it just amazes me that I can do something that pleases him. I mean, he doesn't even need me. I'm insignificant, basically. He doesn't need me, but I can please him. I need him. And if that's the lesson I learned from the lesson today in the seasons of life and all the trials and tribulations I may go through, that I need God. See, we forget that we need God even when everything's rolling our way. Everything's working out. That's good, but you need to realize, praise God for the good times too. But there will be sorrows. It makes you appreciate the good times. There will be times when your garage door opener doesn't work. You know, guess what? There's other things that are more important and worse than that. So you think about it. You think about that. But that comforts my heart that he's never changing. God is trying to teach us all that he is there for us in all the seasons of life while we are here on the earth. He wants us to learn, and he's given us this life. So if we're prepared to die, we're prepared to live for him. All right? So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father,